That's all, bro. I need no 5 minutes. Man.
Baller, shot caller, 20 and play. Only Impala, caller, get late tonight. Switch the road tight, got spray, but I ain't not hit the highway. Making money to fly away, but it's got to be a better way, yeah.
I'm a baller, I'm a 20-inch crawler, blades on Impala, diamond drop waller, R10 howler, never leader, not a follower. Break these boys off, I'm a 20-inch crawler, bust a left or right, I'm out of sight, I'm throw, I'm bouncing off the road, I'm in the modem with the bottom, chain and tune, hop by my big body form, chain with the tongue, can't forgive me with alarm, I'm hopping, I'm looking good, diamonds get some wood, man, it's understood, got money in my hood, I'm pushing big body, can't stop it, put a 9-8, got a settlement, copy. I'ma grow slow, puffin' on the optimo, hit the stove. I'ma go real slow, puffin' on the optimo. I'ma let the spread green, man, I'm lookin' clean. One more control, get green, and nice bust.
Wanna be a baller, shot caller, 20-inch blades, only Impala.
Holler, get laid tonight. Switch a rope tight, gotta spray with eyes. I hit the highway, building a highway in the middle of the Iranian desert. The Iranian desert. The Iranian desert, there's gotta be a better way. Better way, better way. Yeah, yeah. They fitting to overthrow me after this one. They're fitting to overthrow the last Shah of Iran. If you ball out so hard that you either get kicked out of the country, thrown in prison for the rest of your godforsaken life, and or get kicked out of power and have to go into hiding. You have to ask for political asylum in another country. You're a historic baller, bro, and you deserve to be on the show. And I wish I could bring this guy back. He died of cancer. The last Shah of Iran, bro. I mean, just the name itself just lets you know there's going to be a historic situations going on in today's episode. Guys, okay, guys? Guys. Today's episode, man, brought to you by Little Troy. Little Troy. Do you want to be a baller? Would you like to be a shot caller? Would you like 28-inch blades on the Impala? Holla. Get laid tonight. Little Troy. And when I'm balling out, I use my blades and I ball out. So I want to go ahead and go over to Little Troy and use checkout code Historic Ballers for a 72% discount, guys. Okay, guys? So today, let's just get right into it, man. I mean, you know, the Shah of Iran, interesting guy. This is when Iran, this is everything you know if you're in America and you're doing a little bit of history and you go, oh, was the Middle East always fucked up? It is rocks and make their women wear all black, and it's all religious, it's all hell. It's like right-wing conservative Christian to like the 10th million power. And this is the guy, Mohammad Reza Pahlavi, better known as a lot of things. I mean, the Shah means king. I mean, you're talking about widely known in the West. That's what we know. That's what I would call him. That's what we would call him. I mean, this guy's over there killing the game. Born 1919, passed the cancer in 1980 July. Widely known. Imperial state of Iran. He came into power in 1941 until he got overthrown after he fucking threw a banger of a ball. I mean, some reports have it going down as upwards of 500 million for, a 3-day event. I mean, there's a lot of ballers in histories that we'll cover. I mean, there's a couple off the top that I'm thinking of, right, that I already know are going to be up on the charts. I mean, the last guy I remember had a whale-shaped barge with fireworks in France that looked like the New Orleans Saints, that French symbol. I mean, that guy was balled out of control so hard. My man Nicolas Fouquet. May he rest in peace. That baller went to baller fucking heaven. No doubt he went to baller heaven. Balled out on the king's money. He'll be covered.
But this guy's up there, man. He didn't have a boss, you know, so he couldn't get fired per se. Unlike Nicholas, who you know, threw that banger of a ball and then did life in the penal system in wee Miss Yari. Wee, please don't put your wee in me. So this fine gentleman, the Shaw here, as will Lord Baller of you know, may peace be upon this baller until he's overthrown by the Islamic Revolution. These haters, every baller got his haters. No surprise, guys, coming out here. I mean, Islamic Revolution, February 79. Owing to his status, he was usually known as the Shah. Muhammad Reza Shah took the title, the King of Kings, or Shahan, on October 67, and held several other titles, including that of the Light of Aryans, which I didn't understand the Aryan reference. It does come from Iran. They're the original Aryans, come to find out. So, in your face, Hitler, what the hell are you talking about? And the Bozorg Artashat Ran, commander in chief. He was the second and last monarch of the House of Pahlavi. You know, which was the last Iranian royal dynasty. I mean, after they got him out, they were like, enough of this. We'll just go back to this Islamic shit. Ruling for almost 54 years between 25 to 1979, dynasty was founded by Raza Shah Pahlavi, a non-aristocratic Mazen Durrani soldier in modern times, who took on the name of the Pahlavi language spoken. His dream of what he referred to as a great civilization. You're going to find out, because old Pops Pahlavi Senior, you know, he turns out they cast him out too. You know, he was having too much fun over there. You know, before his boy said, "To hell with this, let's everybody put a pair of Levi's on and let's have some sex, dude." He's over there letting the gays be gay. I mean, this guy was the man. You know, when you look at it as a whole, but his pops loves some Hitler, dude. He loves some hit dog. Adolf, he just turns out that he was the man to his pops. So he was the second last. So we got in Iran led to a rapid industrial and military modernization, as well as economic and social reforms. You know, women, voting, being able to work in the workforce. Muhammad came to power during World War II after the Anglo-Soviet invasion. Those goddamn Soviets are always up to it, aren't they? Of Persia, which forced the abdication of his father. Reza Shah Pahlavi. During Muhammad Reza's reign, the British-owned oil industry was briefly nationalized. Oh, that pissed the rest of the world off. Tell you that shit. Did not like that. We're going to have to get a coup in there. And you can't just keep all your oil to yourself, oh, you greedy sons of bitches. By the Iranian Prime Minister Mohammad Mosaddegh, until an army coup d'etat, U.S., and UK instigated Iranian army-led overthrow of the democratically elected Prime Minister Mohammed in favor of strengthening the monarchical rule of the Shah, supported by the UK, deposed by the Mossadegh, reinstalled the Shah, and brought back foreign oil firms under the consortium agreement of 1954. We're talking money here, kids. We're talking baller money. And they're not the type that's going to disclose funds. But their worth is up there. I mean, they're reporting $4 billion. You know, like, what? $4 billy? No. If you're reporting four, you got 40. You got 40 billies in there. And everybody bailed on. When they shut this monarchy down, they all bailed the different countries. Brazil, Argentina. They took their baller in. They took their balled out money elsewhere. And the Shah went on to become a dominant figure in OPEC, of course. You know, the petroleum exporting countries, right? Promoting a surge in oil prices that crippled Western economies. Get that money. Mohammad Reza introduced the White Revolution, which was a far-reaching series of reforms resulting in aggressive modernization in Iran, launched in 63 by the Shah. Reforms resulted in great distribution of wealth and social political reform aimed at transforming Iran into a global power and modernizing the nation by nationalizing key industries and land redistribution. The regime implemented many Iranian national policies. So the Shah initiated major investments in infrastructure, subsidies, for peasant land grants for peasant population. So he's helping, he's throwing a little bone to the peasants over there, the little POMOs, profit sharing for industrial workers, construction of nuclear facilities, the nationalization of Iran's natural resources and literacies, teaching the Mos how to read, and which were considered some of the most effective in the world. The Shah also instituted economic policy tariffs and preferential loans to Iranian businesses, which sought to create an independent economy for the nation. So nationalization, manufacturing cars, appliances, and other goods in Iran. And when you look at the picture, man, they got BW bugs over there. They're wearing Levi's. They're getting sexy with it. The broads are letting down their hair, letting that scalp breathe that the scalp hasn't touched the damn sun over there in 2,500 years. You know, take the damn burka off, folks. By the 1970s, the Shah was seen as a master statesman and used his growing power to pass the 73 sale and purchase agreement. The oil consortium nullified and provided the National Iranian Oil Company with complete control over Iranian petroleum. So we really want to get in, which lays up to the 70s. So that is perfect for this, because at this time, in October of 71, he has to stop the presses. We got some balling to do. Hold all my gold. Hold my gold shower. Hold my gold ball holder. We fitting a ball out. We got to what? Who's doing what over there? What's Eisenhower doing? Who? JFK who? We fitting a ball out over here. The celebration of the 25th 100th anniversary of the founding of the Persian Empire. Come on. Balling, son. He's fitting a ball out for 2,500 years? I mean, when America balled out on 250 years, I was like, holy shit. My dick turned red, white, and blue. I was so full of goddamn pride. I could only imagine 2,500 years, dude. They just busted a Muhammad nut. It was a national event in Iran that during October of 71 to celebrate the founding of the ancient, ready for this? The Achaemenid Empire was the ancient Iranian empire founded by Cyrus the Great in 1550. Shout out, Cyrus. Known also as the first Persian Empire. Largest empire the world has ever seen at the time, spanning a total of 5.5 million square kilometers. So how do you celebrate that? This is how you do it. In the middle of the Iranian desert, the largest meeting of monarchs and heads of state in modern history took place. Party to celebrate the 2,500th anniversary by Shah Mohammad Reza of Iran spent hundreds of millions of dollars to impress him. I mean, he can't have it in the city because there's wars. I mean, the people are rising up. I mean, the Mos, the ice Mos are pissed. You know, you got the more liberal folks that are like, hell, we want to wear Levi's. We want to rock out with our cocks out. We want to get our gay on. It's like, let them be, bro. They even started, like, the man even let, he didn't make, he let Iranian Jews, they didn't have to swear on the good book of old Islam there, on the Quran. They could swear on their own book, and that pissed off a lot of people, man. He made a lot of enemies, and we'll see moving forward. So he had air-conditioned tents, roasted peacock, gallons of tons of champagne. He had, there was like 50 tents, silk tents. He built 60 miles of highway to an airport because they're way out in the middle of the desert. He had bulletproof Benzes that ran shuttles to pick up all the dictators and princes and queens and so this is like some five-star situation, so don't get it twisted. All offered within a specially made, this is artificial oasis. Also put up the Izidi Tower, which you can still see today, which they got it priced at like $8 million at the time, which is probably like, I don't know, 30-35 million, which seems conservative. But, I mean, it's not like it's gold and everything. But it's built out of straight marble slabs. So he balled out, man. He was balling out on every which way from ballerdom. But the three-day celebrations cost the Shah more than mere money. It cost him the crown. They got him out of there. So Muhammad was the head of the 25-year-old dynasty as the King of Kings. Absolute power over the Iranian government stemmed from the 53 Operation Ajax. In 51, Iran's popular prime minister nationalized the country's oil, denying access to America. The Shah was paid $1 million to lead an Anglo-American-backed coup that overthrew the prime minister and reinstalled him as supreme leader. They, you know, just that every time you say supreme leader, you just think they're going to fire up the ovens and start cooking some kosher. In 1963, the Shah launched his White Revolution aimed at modernizing Iran. Greater freedoms were given to women. Land was redistributed. Nuclear facilities constructed. An industrial class grew from the boom in goods and manufacturing. But behind the vision of modernity was a harsh reality. The Shah reforms were unpopular with many Muslims and conservative subjects. But he ensured their voices were never heard. Few civil liberties existed. The SAVAK, Iran's brutal secret service, would arrest and torture suspects at will. And by 1971, Iran had the highest number of political prisoners and official executions in the world. They were letting heads roll in this mug. They want to stop the balling? You can't stop the balling. 51% of the population lived below the poverty line. Cities lacked infrastructure and rural communities lacked even basic needs like water, education, medical care. But the Shah was busy with other ideas. I mean, he's got to celebrate this founding by Cyrus the Great. And he viewed it as an opportunity to showcase his new Iran to the world. Show himself as the new Cyrus, the new baller in town. In 70, the Shah announced a lavish three-day celebration would be held in the ruins of the Persepolis, man. The capital of the old Persian Empire. It'd be like having a fucking powwow in the middle of the Colosseum, bro. Or, you know, it's wild. The capital of the old Persian Empire for all the great leaders of the world. There they would marvel at Iran's past and pay homage to him as King of Kings. I'm the new dog in town. Bow down when you come to my Persepolis. Iran, viewed by many in the Western world as a backwater, did not have the infrastructure or hotels to accommodate 60 heads of state, princes, queens, etc., etc., and the countless staff and media required to run the event. Instead, the Shah decided to construct his own oasis in the middle of a desert, far away from Iran's troubles. We can't hear your Allah Akbars out here, kids, okay? We can't hear the sound of sweet gay Mo's being tossed by their panty looms over the side of buildings. 15,000 trees and 15,000 flowers were imported from across Europe, some from the gardens of Versailles himself, to create the lush oasis. Whilst the rest of Iran was suffering a severe drought, the Shah was pouring gallons of water into the site, even commissioning the gardener of Versailles to create a perfumed garden of roses. To save the distinguished guests from being bitten or stung, this is incredible. All thousands of scorpions and snakes within a 30-kilometer area were exterminated with pesticides. He's just out there. He called the Orchid Man out there. Use that illegal shit, dude. Use that Mexico fucking killer, dude. You spray and it just stays on there forever until you put bleach on it to replace them in the tent city. 50,000 songbirds were imported from here. Songbirds, you'll find out as we're going through historic ballers, is prominent as the most beautiful thing that you drowned in alcohol of some sort, cook it, and as you eat it, you put a napkin over your head because you know that you're ashamed, God's ashamed that you're doing this to such a beautiful creature, dude. They did it throughout history. Including 20,000 Spanish sparrows, but many of these died in the intense temperatures of the Iranian desert. Do you think it's only 120 out there, man, in the shade? Despite the whole party's purpose being to exhibit Iranian history, style, and culture, Few Iranian craftsmen took part in its construction. The Shah insisted on using world-class artisans and outsourced much of the work to France. He loved France. He went to school in France. He was the first of the in the royal monarchy there to go to school outside of Iran, and he fell in love with French culture, artistry, and also got his ass handed to him. This pompous high school age son of the damn, you know, Raja, the Shah, comes, he's yelling at French kids, American kids, at school in France to stand at attention. When he steps in, he caught a beating. He caught a beating by, I'm not mistaken, it was an American who gave him the what foe. Gave him the what foe, Mo. Check yourself, Mo. Despite the whole party's, the Shah commissioned the legendary Mason Jansen of Paris to construct a great tent city to accommodate his guests. It took hundreds of French designers and builders over a year to create the 50 tents. These are when they say tents, man, I can't tell you. These are silk tents. These are five-star situations. Prefabricated apartments with Persian tent surrounds on an airstrip outside Paris. Each one was fully air-conditioned and contained two bedrooms, two bathrooms, a lounge, a kitchen, and a full staff. This isn't KOA camping. These tents were placed on five avenues representing the five continents, radiating out from a central fountain. The tent city also consisted of a tent of honor, where the Shah would receive his guests. The banqueting tent, the largest on the site, and a full 18-hole golf course was built. One tent contained 16 hair salons and four beauty parlors, staffed by Parisian stylists, while another acted as a social club with a bar, cabaret suite, and even a secret gambling room. They're balling out in Mo territory, drinking laca, smacking hoes, collecting guap. The Shah equally spared no expense when it came to the food he intended to serve. He chose Maxim of Paris, believed to be the best restaurant in the world, to cater the entire event. They closed all of their restaurants for a fortnight to fly all their staff to Iran. To transport all the food and equipment to the middle of the Iranian desert, the Shah built an entire airfield in Shiraz and a 100-kilometer road connecting it to Persepolis. 100 airplanes from the Imperial Iranian Air Force took 6 months to transport over 18 tons of food and drink. This includes 380,000 eggs, 30 kilos of caviar, 2,700 kilos of pork, beef and lamb, 12 tons of wine, champagne and spirits, and to keep the drinks cold, ice cubes the size of garages. They're over here cutting up Antarctica. This was to be the largest gathering of international royalty and world leaders in modern history, and the Shah already had a huge popularity problem. Protests against the party rose up as soon as plans were announced, and the Savak believed terrorists were setting up in the mountains surrounding Persepolis. 65,000 soldiers and Savak officers were mobilized to protect the tent city and prevent any disturbance that could embarrass him. Checkpoints were positioned every few meters along the road to Persepolis, at one of which the King of Denmark was thrown out of his car. And the banqueting hall was strictly prohibited to authorize Maxim staff only to prevent the poisoning of guests. On the top of this, Iran's entire border was closed off for the duration of the party. All universities and colleges were closed and student groups disbanded. Thousands of political activists and student leaders were rounded up by the Savak and placed in protective custody in cells so crowded they couldn't barely lay down. October 71, after 13 months of prep, the stage was finally set. The Ministry of Agriculture planted pine trees along the road from Shiraz to Persepolis, and the National Iranian Oil Company installed torches to light the way with elaborate... Man, can you imagine coming in that? It'd be like seeing Vegas, bro. It'd be like coming down the fucking 15 from Cali to Vegas, where you're going through 3 hours of straight nothing desert at night, no lights, and you finally make the climb where you have to turn off your AC, you might overheat. And as soon as you get to the top, you just see what looks like heaven. The Shah's dream had become a reality. Anniversary celebrations began on October 12th with an homage to the spirit of Cyrus the Great at his tomb at Parsagadi. The Shah, Shahbanu, Farah, and Crown Prince Riza, all in full imperial costume, processed in state to the mausoleum where the Shah delivered an impassioned speech to his great predecessor. He promised that Iranians would prove worthy heirs of their glorious past. This would be like going to, George Washington's grave and just throwing a baller-ass party out there at the damn, just get everybody on a boat looking like they're crossing the Delaware. They told Cyrus to rest in peace. We are awake, and we will always stay awake. That afternoon, and for the next 2 days, the Shah's distinguished guest arrived. The guest list was perhaps the most prestigious in history, including 18 presidents, 8 kings, and an emperor. Vice President Agnew of the USA, President Nixon was not given CIA clearance to come. You had Chairman Portnoy of USSR, President of Austria, Prime Minister of France, South Korea, Italy, Switzerland, Chief Earl Oldperson of the Blackfeet Nation. They had some goddamn Indians over there. First Lady Imelda of Indonesia, Australia, the King of Denmark, Belgium, Jordan, Nepal. I mean, he covered his bases, guys. I mean, he's got some ballers to ball out. You know, ballers of a feather flock together. Prince Franz of Liechtenstein, Monaco, Grand Duke Jean of Luxembourg. You got some ballers on here. You got some ballers doing some ballerlicious things. Prince Philip, Duke of Edinburgh. It was decided it would be inappropriate for Queen Elizabeth II to be seen paying homage to the King of Kings. He said the same thing. Queen Elizabeth had him over one time, and she didn't pay homage, like, in honor of, like, this, you know, this day is for you. Like, most people are like, when a dignitary comes to their country, another king or something, like, this is for you. She said it was, like, for somebody else while he was there. He got all fucking pissed. The Shah met many of these guests, especially his fellow monarchs, at the airport in Shiraz before a fleet of 250 bulletproof limousines provided by Mercedes-Benz. Baller. Whisked them away to the tent city in Persepolis. Journalists and staff later described the surreal atmosphere of so many world leaders in one place. The vice president of America would be smoking outside his tent and waving to the king of Sweden walking past, all while the first lady of Yugoslavia was chatting to the emir of Abu Dhabi. Most of the European monarchs were related and so would freely walk in and out of each other's tents and hang out at the social club. The underground safe was crammed with tiaras, necklaces, and solid gold jewelry, but the most expensive item in there was, in fact, the diamond-encrusted collar of the Emperor of Ethiopia's dog. On the evening of October 14th, the Shah hosted his guests to the most lavish dinner in modern history. Ballin'. Inside the enormous banqueting tent, the table was 70 meters long. I mean, basically a football field. And his tablecloth took 150 women over 6 months to embroider. Get them bitches to work. The scene harked back to a 17th century European court, with aide-de-camps announcing guests with ever more extravagant titles. The royal penis is clean, sir. The crystal chandelier suspended from the ceiling, the gold-plated cutlery, the limoges, crockery, and the baccarat crystal glasses. Naturally, Maxim had understood the Shah's commission and composed the most delicious menu in the world. Oh, let's go. Ball out. Entree, quail eggs stuffed with Iranian caviar. First course, crayfish mousse with nata sauce. Second course, roast saddle of French lamb stuffed with mushrooms, truffles, and foie gras. Sorbet à la champagne. Main course, imperial peacock surrounded by its court with a nut and truffle salad. Not actually peacock, but quail stuffed with truffles and foie gras and presented inside 50 peacocks. Dessert was glaze or pardo figs with cream and raspberry champagne sherbet. Coffee and cognac, Prince Eugene. All the, I'd have took it. Can I get a banquet? Can I get the cold chicken from Stater Brothers, please? I'll take a Stater Brothers foot-long sandwich, extra red onions, please, sir. and a couple Coors Light. Can I get a couple Coors Light? You guys got the Jameson little shot bottles, guys? And I didn't see any Marlboro Black 100s around here. Edibles. You guys smoking weed over here yet? Oh, this is what, I mean, Cyrus, I didn't be going. Cyrus the Great would have been smoking weed. You're just constantly, Cyrus the Great would have loved Coors Light, dude. Just passing it on, like whispering it. Why don't we have Coors Light here? Why don't we have banquet TV dinner Salisbury steak? Cyrus would have loved that. All this was washed down with 2,500 bottles of champagne, 1,000 bottles of wine, and 1,000 bottles of burgundy, with a menu worth millions, 600 guests, including 60 heads of state, and lasting over 6 hours, the Shah's banquet remains to this day the grandest and longest dinner in history, according to the Guinness Book of World Records. After the banquet, the guests made their way to the Persepolis ruins. I mean, they had to have been fucked up by now. I mean, you're fucked up. You're talking shit about Cyrus all day. This motherfucker wasn't shit. The fuck was he doing? You know what I mean? They're getting heads lopped all around. You're getting took into, like, the secret garage. I mean, were there concubines on the scene? Bars. Baller. After the banquet, the guests made their way to the Mississippi ruins, where a light and sound display was projected onto the archaic columns and statues, narrated by the voices of great shahs of the past. After the show, the surprise fireworks display came as a surprise that many of the guests believed. The party was under terrorist attack. Excuse me. Excuse me. Damn. Hot and dusty today, man. This dust from this train is crazy. Don't buy a house next to the train tracks if you don't want to hear the train, guys. The following morning, 15 October, brought the main event, a parade of 1,724 soldiers and performers reenacting 2,500 years of Persian history. What you got, Beyonce? To the left, complete with horses and camels. The Shah ensured that no expense was spared on research. Trumpets and other instruments were made and played that had not been heard for centuries. The costumes were painstakingly studied for months by international military historians and built by military outfit. This is dope, dude. Baller. Next level baller details, man. The baller is in the details. Even three life-size ships were constructed from the reigns of Xerxes and Darius the Great. What? The 16th October marked the end of the festivities for many guests as they left for Shiraz. Those that remained were carted to Tehran for three more days of celebration. You're going 6 days hard in the baller paint, dude. Come on. In terms of international prestige, the party certainly achieved all the Shah wished for. The wealth and glorious history of Iran was screened all over the world. And the world was certainly impressed. Time magazine called it the greatest gathering of the century. The Shah's fellow monarchs were either humbly impressed or atrociously jealous. For those 3 days, the Shah really was the king of kings. But the people's opinion really mattered. The Iranian public were outraged. First was the apparent lack of feeling. Whilst 51% of his subjects were starving and his country was experiencing a drought, the Shah was parading in an artificial oasis and feasting on truffles. And they're like, what the hell is a truffle? What? All while the Secret Service had shut down universities and imprisoned thousands of suspects. Then there was a significant lack of Iranians. As aforementioned, very few Iranian craftsmen took part in the construction of the tent city. The food the Shah served was all French, cooked by French chefs. Even at his 600-person banquet, the Shah invited barely any of his own ministers. Oh, man, that's not a baller move, but it's... I mean, when you're balling out, man, your balling can get your head in a knot. Only a select few Iranians who had taken part in the planning were invited. That's not a dog baller. The dog baller would have invited the boys. He would have took a couple. You got to take a couple of your servants, of your subjects. You got to go around and scrape up about 5% of those 51% starving. Bring those people there. Show them off. Have them over just a little bit, you know, further. You got to have them there so they go back and they can fight your fight for you. Come on. Indeed, within the specially commissioned featured film of the event was shown to him. Even the Shah asked, where are the Iranians? Thus, the party was less a show of Iranian culture and history and far more an excuse for the Shah to show off his rich and entitled friends. Thirdly was the shocking debauchery of the party. Let's go. A devoutly Islamic country, much of the population was outraged to find the banquet drowning in alcohol. With female guests wearing short dresses. Not to mention the Shah's devilish gambling den in the social club. Rahala Kamani, a Muslim cleric, then exiled in Iraq, called it the Devil's Festival and the most catastrophic of the Shah's many shameful festivities. Finally, there was the cost. Predictions vary as the total cost of the celebration. Time magazine put it at $635 million in today's money. The Fiargo doubled that to $1.2 billion in today's money. Whilst the Iranian press argued it could not have cost less than $3 billion in today's money, the Iranian press. The Shah placed the official figure at $16.8 million in that day, $112 million today. Oh, don't be shy, baller. And argued that donations from the visitors went towards the creation of 3,200 rural schools. You threw them a fucking few hot dogs, you know? You could have gathered all them kids up and just threw them whatever, like, snack packs Muzzy eats. You know what I mean? Okay, what do they eat? They don't eat. You can't give them hot dogs or ham, but you give them, I guess, what, caviar? Put some caviar in there. Put leftovers. They should have took all the leftovers and balled out. Baller leftovers? But whatever the monetary cost, the true price the Shah had to pay for his party was his crown. Heavy lies the baller crown, guys. The event united the opposition party against him and lost all his public credibility. So great was the public discontent that in 1974, the Shah actually apologized. For, oh, no, you didn't, baller. Come on, baller. You got to ball out, man. But it was all too late. The popular protest of the late 70s grew into the Islamic Revolution. In February 79, pro-Khomeini forces overthrew the government and established the Islamic Republic with Khomeini and a supreme leader. The Shah was exiled to Egypt and died the following year. Cancer. Ending 2.5 millennia of Iranian monarchy. I mean, salute the baller, man. Salute the cause. I mean, how beautiful is that, dude? And we're going to go after, if you haven't listened to the episode 1 and 2, go listen to that, and 2.1 to make up for 2. So there's really only 2 episodes of the ballers, but they're worth it. Of course, support the Patreon, patreon.com/firecrotch. Throw your boy a couple bones, helps us keep the show going. You guys that are producers, tell me who you want to hear. Who's your baller? Was this guy balled out all the way out? Or did he kind of fucking cowered there at the end? But everybody apologizes. Even if you know you're on your way out, a baller got to try to stay in office. That's the baller way when you're a political baller. But I hope you enjoyed it. If you enjoyed this, check out the other shows. Original Wig is live every Wednesday on YouTube. On channel Focus CDS. It's scrolling across the screen right now if you're watching it. If it's audio, just go to YouTube, type in Original Wiggas, W-H-I-G-G-A. You know, every thug got a little wigga in them, dude. Every wig in L.A. Every thug in L.A. got a little wigga in them. And I mean, that's Wigga Pac Shakur right there. So I appreciate everybody listening. And tune in next time as we ball out. To see who's the most historic ballers that's ever balled in throughout history. And if you're like me, you're a history buff, this is the show for you, man. So again, we're gonna take us out with the sponsor of the show. Little Troy, sitting fat down south baller. And stay cool, stay black. Stay black, son.
That's all right. I need no problems.
Baller, shot caller, 20 and play, only in Paula.
waller. I 10 howler, never leader, not a fowler. Break these boys off, I'm a 20 inch crawler. Bust a left, a right, I'm out of sight, I'm throwed. I'm bouncing off the road, I'm in the modem with the podem, chaining tune. Hop by my big body form, chain with the tongue, can't forgive me what alarm. I'm hopping, I'm looking good, diamonds against my wood. Man, it's understood, got money in my hood. I'm pushing big body, can't stop me. Put a 9-8, gotta sell a million copy. I'ma crow slow, puffin' on the optimo, hit the stove. I'ma go real slow, puffin' on the optimo. I'ma let the stress green, man, I'm looking clean. One more control, three green, and knife bust
a wanna be a baller, shot caller, 20-inch blades on the Impala.